I'm Josh.
I'm Cody, and this is Beer Babes Boycana.
Do you have an anecdote?
Sure do.
Cool. Let's get right into the episode. We're here because this show is missing the most important piece of TCG content, and that is straight white men.
I don't play Lorcana.
Yeah, me neither, except when Katie makes me. Doesn't matter. Won't stop us from sharing our opinions as facts.
Now, the state of the game, there's been a lot of talk about the two-game format. Honestly, this change is making me physically ill.
Oh, same. I had to call off work. So you're going to play in the set championship?
The set championship.
There's some sort of championship coming with a fancy card with a little blue guy on it.
Oh, yes. Of course, I would be perfect for that. As long as it's, you know, a man up there doing the job.
Oh, it will be. No way. Woman makes the top eight.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I watched a YouTube video. Like, I guess I skimmed through it like a week or two ago. So I feel pretty prepared.
Yeah, I get the gist of the game. You have, you know, your attack and defense. You know, I got it. I got it in the bag.
It's Magic with Mickey Mouse. Been playing that for 20 years.
Magic with Mickey Mouse. I definitely got that.
Game's a piece of cake, yeah. Nah, I'm pretty confident I'll get a few of those little blue guys. Don't remember what movie he's from. Probably haven't seen it. But yeah, definitely going to get some of those. Flip them for cash. It's going to be a good day. Good day.
Yep, definitely. Yep.
So what's your strategy when you go into an LGS and you sit down across from your opponent? You just like stare into their eyes?
I try to make them feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Same. You have to establish dominance. You got to be the alpha. Yeah.
I try to touch them as well.
That's a must.
I don't fully go touch, but I definitely go for trying to touch.
Like when you go to grab the dice and you just kind of bump them, it's like, I'm winning this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. That's why normally when I come in, I sit down. I'm always sleeveless. Always sleeveless, so you can show off the guns, you see that? You see that right there? What's that say?
RTA.
RTA, that's right. You know what that stands for?
I sure do.
Yeah, that's right. It stands for Respect the Alpha. It's just a reminder for them to always remember to respect the Alpha.
Respect the Alpha. Yep, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So we got a few other questions in here. Two-game format. We already talked about that. No, we didn't. Listener questions. Let's see. Listener question here. What's your opinion of the modern storybook style developed by the creative team and piloted by Nicolas Cole?
Nicolas Cole.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Do a Googling here. Oh, okay. I see some of this art. Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. What are your thoughts?
You know, it's a little too cartoony for me.
I get it. Yeah. I could have done better. I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
That was our only listener question, so we'll just jump right into Dude of the Day. Who do you got?
Oh, well, you know, I'm thinking Gaston. I really think he was wronged in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, definitely.
You know, his girlfriend cheated on him with a beast, and he was just trying to save the town from a hideous monster.
Hideous monster, I agree. No, he was the hero of that story.
Yeah,
really disappointing what happened to him. Damn tragedy. My Dude of the Day over here is the Mouster, played by The Rock, another alpha.
Definitely an alpha.
You know an alpha when you see it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Dude of the Day, I got that brilliant idea, of course, from a woman, and I took it as my own.
Oh, brilliant. That's where all my great ideas come from.
You know it.
So let's discuss some of those difficulties of being a man in the TCG space.
All right.
Sip a beer here, I think.
And scene.
I love it. And scene. Wow, that was really great. I'm so sorry that we didn't do more of it.
I feel like we need to say that was satire. Do we need to say that? Was it clear?
I think it should be clear. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what are we talking about today, Kyle? Oh, wait, let's do our, should we do our intro? There was already an intro done, but we should do ours.
Okay. Hey, everybody. I'm Katie.
I'm Becky, and this is Live, Laugh, Lorcana. What's on the docket today?
I was going to ask you first.
I don't have a docket. You know I don't have a docket. Okay, well, I figure the things that I would talk about are things that are already on your docket, so we figure we can just go with yours, such as championships, such as challenges, such as comprehensive rules. So go ahead.
That's pretty much all of it. I was also going to talk about two-game format a little.
Please.
Because there was an online tournament last weekend that decided to try out the two-game format, and we saw a lot of people really, really hating on the two-game format.
We did. What were the criticisms, Ka?
Yeah, it's interesting, because one of the ones that I saw a lot were that they hated drawing every match, and they wanted a decisive winner of every match, and that it was very unsatisfying to not have a winner of a round. What do you think about that, Becky?
I cannot relate to that thought even a little bit. I don't know. That is so unimportant to me. I literally can't wrap my head around it. Like, I could not care less. Like, you got your point. You won the game. You got a point. Congrats. That's you got the point for winning. That was your reward for winning. Congratulations.
Yeah, I feel like the people who are saying that, like, are having a real hard time shifting their mindset to, like, earning points. I really think Ravensburger believes that Disney Lorcana can reach, like, the most diverse audience of any TCG out there. And, like, I really feel like this is making people, like, want to earn points and, like, be more comfortable and competitive. It's making people feel like they can sign up for competitive events. And that's awesome.
I think so too.
If you don't like that because you want to feel like you're a decisive winner, like, I don't really care. And I hope Ravensburger doesn't really care either.
Wow. I love that. That's so good. Honestly, though, like, I don't understand why people who are, you know, self-identifying as, like, competitive, you know, serious business, like, why are you so intimidated by this? Like, something that's more accessible, something that encourages inclusion. Like, why is that scary for you? I was talking with Wybreezy about the two-game format last night, and the people in the comments didn't like it either. And one thing Breezy suggested was that the extra point is superfluous. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people complaining about the bonus point, like it's being one of the biggest points of contention. And it's interesting because, you know, we in this house have been wanting a two-game format long before it was announced. I've told you this before. And like the extra point was definitely not part of it. we always just thought it'd be like a game per win. So I was surprised by it, but also I didn't do any research. Like, Ravensburger did research. They did, like, test tournaments under NDA, and they concluded that the extra point was necessary, or at least they preferred it. I assume they want the extra point because, like, to 2-0 someone, like, win on the play, win on the draw, it's very decisive. So I'm thinking that they want to get those people, like, push them even further in the standings so you're more quickly starting to get matched with people who are about the same skill level as you.
That makes total sense to me. That's the other thing. I think it's a little bit premature to be so critical of it when an online tournament was literally the only time it's been, like, played on any sort of scale. And it's not the same as a paper tournament. It's just simply not.
That's what people are saying, like, oh, 50 minutes is way too long. Yes, 50 minutes is probably too long. But don't tell me you can tell me how long it should be when you didn't have to shuffle, you didn't have to handle dice, you didn't have to move cards around at all. You have no idea how long it takes.
Yeah, I think that's super fair. So I think everybody who's feeling particularly unhappy just needs to like sit down for like a couple weeks, you know, see how things work, you know, and, you know, then maybe you can come up with well-formulated complaints about it other than it doesn't make me feel good.
Fair. And that's like the what kind of is kind of crazy about it, because I think ultimately for the really skilled players that will be making top 32 consistently, it doesn't matter. Like, they're still gonna excel under the system. And once you get to top 32 or whatever it was, it switches to best of three and there is a decisive winner. Like, this is just trying to get us generally who the best people are, and it's going to do that. So I'm not sure why the competitive people are so mad about it, to be honest.
They hate it. It makes them feel sick.
I mean, hard to argue with that logic. And then next thing, set championship. Did you have anything in particular you wanted to talk about set championship?
I signed up for one.
Very nice. I signed up for two.
One of the ones that I also signed up for?
Yes. And
you're going down. Go ahead.
No, I love that energy. Keep bringing that. I should sign up for a third, but you have to call. Like, that is such a barrier of entry.
Honestly. What year is it? There's a listener question about that, so we can talk about it later.
So I will say one thing I wanted to talk about is there seem to be a lot of casual players on the fence about whether or not they should sign up for a set championship. What do you think about that?
And I'm probably going to just say what you said when we talked about it. Is that okay?
Go.
Okay. So the reason people are on the fence is because they feel like, you know, it's unlikely that they will make top eight. And I get that. I don't think I'm going to make top eight, but that's not necessarily the point. Going into a tournament like this is your first tournament. Is highly unlikely you're going to break to the top eight. But the thing about tournaments is you get better with experience and exposure to the environment and playing people who are good players. Playing good players makes you better. And so I think going to something like this, even if you're a casual player, is like a really great experience for learning, living, loving, Lorcana-ing.
Exactly. It's a great way to test yourself, even just to test if you like that kind of more competitive environment. You get to spend the whole day playing Lorcana. Like, where's the bad? Like, just go have fun and give it a try.
Yes. So go forth and set championship.
If you're, and I know a lot of people don't think they're like good enough or whatever. If you're even thinking about it, I know you're good enough. Just sign up. You can do it. Have a good time. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, let us know how it goes if you go. Because, yeah, like, I mean, this will be everybody's first set championship. But it could definitely be a lot of people's first, like, quote unquote, real tournament. And so definitely let us know how it goes for you if you go.
Becky, you are famously a casual player, but you sent me a text a few weeks ago probably a week ago. I have no sense of time. That says, now I have 3 weeks to prepare to win a set championship. You said to win.
Wow. Such misplaced confidence. Wow. Look at her.
I love that for you. I'm so excited to get that text.
I am probably just going to be like rooting for you though. So I'm there to support you.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to do. I'll say that maybe I'll get a top eight, maybe. But then prizes are only top four. So it would be very me to get to top eight and then like the first elimination round of top eight get out before I could actually get a stitch. That would probably be the Katie move. So
I'm ready for it. Oh, you know what we should talk about? This is kind of unrelated. Actually, it's extremely unrelated. We have concluded our portion of the Glimmer Gauntlet. Do you want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about it.
You first.
Okay, so that was a ride, the Glimmer Gauntlet. Okay, I got Ruby Steel. And I worked on that list for way too long. And I finally got a list that I was pretty happy with. And then I found out my first round opponent was on Emerald Amethyst. So I built an Emerald Amethyst list and I was playing into it over and over. And I lost again and again and again. So I hedged everything into this one matchup. I decided I was going to, you know, just try to get through round one and make a Ruby Steel list that could beat the Emerald Amethyst list that I built, which was pretty heavy discard. And it ran that Ursula that peels songs. So I ended up cutting all the songs. I ended up, because of the discard, I never have cards in hand, leaning really heavily into Beast Mirror. And then that caused me to basically cut all the uninkables so I could be inking and using Beast Mirror. And I got to the point where I was winning in testing a third of the time. And I went in to the Glimmer Gauntlet knowing I had to be very lucky to win round one. Or that Blake had to have a worse deck, a worse Emerald Amethyst deck than I built. But he didn't. He had a better one. I didn't have Cloud Kicker in mind. Can you believe? Anyway, I lost pretty terribly in the first round.
It wasn't pretty terribly. I thought you had a really excellent showing.
Thank you. Yeah, the first game was close. Even though watching it back, I'm just like, well, why did I do that? I think I was nervous at the time.
Yeah, I was very nervous for mine.
I said more.
Oh. So I was put on Amber Sapphire, which friends of the show, fans of the show know that I am an Amber Sapphire girly, Princess Power all day, every day. I love it. So I was like, okay, I mean, I know these cards well. And I also decided to play against my first round opponent, which was Emerald Steel. And what do we know about Emerald Steel? Discard. We know we got, you know, a ping pong attacky attacks, but also not a lot of heavy damage dealers. So my strategy was, my list was called Big Butts and Bodyguards, where we got, you know, high butts and bodyguards, as the name implies, and also high lore on these babies. So I kind of went with that. That was my main strategy. And then I used a Jasmine, Queen of Agrabah, Rapunzel, Sunshine, in with Rapunzel, Gifted Artist, make a little card draw engine for myself. And you know what, Katie? If I had played better than I did, I think I could have had it.
It was really close. You had a very close match.
It wasn't the deck that was the problem. It was me.
I still think you could have put in popsicles and really spiced it up. But
No. Everyone was telling me to run popsicles who knew I was running Sapphire, Amber. Everyone was like, gotta do popsicles. No, I don't have to do popsicles. I hate being told what to do. I will not. I am obstinate. No popsicles will grace my deck. Thank you. And they didn't. And I could have won still. But I'm just like, I was nervous. I make poor choices often in life and in Lorcana. And it didn't work for me. But that's life.
I think you did great. I was really proud of you. It was the hardest I ever saw you try at Lorcana. And that was cool. And you were excited about your card draw combo. And it was a good time.
I think I had some really good stuff. I had McDuck Manor, which was like really got me the win on my second game. And like I had, you know, my little support buddies. It was just really good. I put together something really special, Katie. Anybody who looked at my list would be like, no, but no, it was like I thought it through. I worked really hard on it. I think it was like a really good idea. And I love it. And I might even adapt it to be my regular deck for a league and stuff.
We're always so different. I'm like, I want to throw all of these cards away and never play them again.
I like my special deck. I'm going to throw some Grandpa Bees in there. It's going to be Mwah, chef's kiss.
It's interesting. I think in general, I'm a pretty good loser, but this loss hit me very hard.
So you worked so hard.
I worked so hard and I was so stressed and I became very preoccupied with this idea that even though we had six women in the tournament, that no woman would ever beat a man through the course of the tournament. And I wanted to do everything to stop that from happening. I just wanted one of us to beat a man. And that's like such a dumb thing to focus on. But like, I put so much pressure on myself to do it, you know, but sometimes you just try really hard at something and it doesn't work out.
I've never been more proud of you, though. I thought you did such a great job. I was really rooting for you. And your match was casted beautifully. And I'm always so proud of you. And you did us proud. And I think if you had gone against literally any other ink combination, I think you would have really turned it out.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I also didn't play well day of because I do get pretty bad nerves. And webcam is extra nerves.
Is there a reason? Because like you're not facing the person or you know that other people will be watching or?
The purpose is for other people to watch. So I become so preoccupied with making sure like, I don't know. And then there was like this whole talk in the, you know, Glimmer Gauntlet chat about how let's make sure everyone knows we're not cheating. So let's keep our hands in the shot at all times without tipping the cards to camera. And I spent a lot of time practicing that and so much mental energy on keeping my hands in, like, I'm not even joking. Like, I wasted so much brain space being like, okay, I have to keep my cards in the shot without exposing them to the camera.
I get that. I'm so sad. You just hate to be perceived.
I do. Yes, you get it.
I do. So I was asked to be in the Glimmer Gauntlet, and I know there were so many people who wanted to be in the Glimmer Gauntlet, and I guess I hadn't anticipated that, so, like, I was super honored that we were asked, and then it was like, do I deserve to be here? And I really felt this pressure to prove that, like, I wasn't a wasted slot, if that makes sense. And then, of course, I wanted to rep for the ladies as well, and I don't know if I did that, but I don't know.
Obviously, you did justify your spot. You came very, very close to a second round, honestly. You did incredible. And also, you never have to justify your spot. If somebody invited you, that's your spot. And just own it.
Okay. Next, we're going to talk about
the rules. Did you try reading the rules? Oh, first, we got comprehensive rules for Lorcana.
Hey.
Did you try reading them?
Yeah.
How far did you get? What did you think? Tell me everything.
I mean, I just skimmed it. I don't know. It seemed like regular stuff.
You skimmed the whole thing? All 31 pages?
Maybe I read the wrong document.
What did you read?
I read the Lurkana TC. Oh, this is an old document. Didn't read them. Oh, hey, look how cute. Oh, it's a big document. This seems like regular stuff.
It's pretty it's pretty regular for the most part, yeah. I'm reacting to your faces.
Did you have some standout, like, things you're like, I don't know about this? I heard a lot of people talking about different things, like, what was the thing about that nobody does? Oh, you're supposed to, like, say the card you're going to play, then do your ink or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people were surprised by that. Flesh and Blood is like that. You always reveal the card and then pay the cost. So that was not a shock to me. But also something I wish I knew before I made myself stop doing that from Flesh and Blood.
Yeah, right? I got to relearn it.
Yeah, nothing really surprised me too much. I'm super glad to have the rules because it's really nice when you're trying to figure out a rule interaction to be able to point to a written rule and be like, okay, this is why it works the way it does. But honestly, I had a hard time reading them. I don't know. I feel like it's like lawyer speak, or it's like just explaining things for the sake of having definitions, which is important.
Yeah.
But so boring to read straight.
Yeah, I'm really bad at reading stuff I don't want to read.
Yeah, that's why I wanted you to try. I just wanted to see if you could get through them.
I feel like I could. I don't know. It's, but what would I retain? I don't know. Probably not much.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anything else to talk about before we go on to listener questions?
Oh, can you tell me about your stonks? Tell the people about your stonks.
No, that's true. I put in a big TCG player order the other day. And it was just so unfortunate because my husband walked in the room and he's like, TCG player, what are you buying? And he comes over and looks at my cart and it's like, $500. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. But yeah, he was like, do you really need all of that right now? And I was like, no, but some of it could only go up. And like, I was pointing to like the Shen Zs in my cart. I'm like, this is a super rare, but it's like so cheap right now. But like, who knows how expensive it's going to be once they, you know, spoil a hyena any day now in set 4. So like, I have to get this right now.
I think that's totally legit and I love it. And you should share these thoughts with me as well, because I love stonks.
I mean, to be fair, I'm just a completionist. So I would want 4 anyway, even if it never goes up. So
I rode the Lucky Dime train recently to fortune and fame.
I just had to buy 4 of those because it's the one legendary I didn't open.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not a single one.
I have 6.
Shut up. Do you really?
I do.
Well, I should have bought some off of you.
I pulled 2 and then I bought 4 for like $3 a piece.
Should have bought them from you.
Listener cues?
Yes. But if you're in our Discord, you know we've collected questions for a special guest. That is going to be next episode. So get ready for an exciting interview next episode.
Woo! Now for some listener questions. Rebecca at Lurkana Illuminary says, why do you think there aren't many women CCs in Lurkana, and why does it seem like there are some who start up but then kind of drop off?
Yeah, Rebecca asked this when we were talking to her because I had noticed a lot of the creators that we featured in previous episodes are not actively producing content. Obviously, a lot of them are, but, you know, some of them aren't. Yeah, you go first.
Okay. So, of course, the space is predominantly men, but I do feel like women, just talking gender specific, we just discussed about how hard it is to be perceived. And I feel like being a content creator is kind of like having a lot of eyes looking at you. And I also feel like there's this sort of, like, you and I do this podcast. We do a couple other small things, but like, we don't invest like a ton of time into this because it kind of feels like we can't. And feel free to cut this, but like, there's no real return on this time. I mean, we have a beautiful community, beautiful friends, whatever, but it's, I feel like so many of the men content creators can feel like they can invest like hours and hours and hours and hours in this. And like, it, they don't need to have a return. They don't need to see like growth numbers, whatever. They just are happy to do it. But that's just what I think. Like, I can't invest a ton of time in this because I have other stuff going on. I don't know if that made any sense, but do you see where I am?
So I think you're making like a, like, women tend to feel like their time has to be more productive than men do. Is that kind of?
Yeah.
I do kind of agree with that. I also think to some extent it's just that there are more men in the community, and also there are more men that are already invested because they've played other TCGs. A lot of the women in this community, this is their first TCG. They're kind of dipping their toe, so it's a lot to just jump to creating content. As for content creators falling off, I actually don't think that's unique to like women or gender minority creators. I think a ton of people start YouTube channels, podcasts, whatever, don't follow through. Because exactly what you said, it's a ton of time. It's a ton of effort. It's money. Like, we're putting money into this, into our hosting, into our editing software, into the equipment we have. Like, you invest so much in content, and for most people, you get very little back. We're kind of like exceptions to the rule. And then we have this amazing Discord community that gives us all this amazing feedback about every episode we do. That is not a normal experience.
That was so much better than what I said. It's hard to stay motivated, I guess. I imagine that it would be hard to stay motivated when you don't get good feedback from, you know, the community, the powers that be, like all this stuff.
Yeah. So this is just like, if you are watching a YouTube video or listening to a podcast and you like it, just like a quick, great video, like anything, just so people don't feel like they're yelling into the void, I think is helpful. Just
for sure.
I do want to kind of acknowledge, because she did ask specifically about women. Obviously, we have interacted with a lot of female and gender minority creators in the community. There sometimes is a feeling that Lorcana content creation is a bit of a boys club.
100%. Oh, 100%. 100,000, quadruple, billion percent. It 100% is. Anyone who tells you it's not is lying.
I was gonna dance around that a lot more.
I'm not dancing. I refuse to dance around it. It's a fact. Come on.
Yeah, I guess I feel the effect of that. I've always said I don't think it's because we're women. I think it's because we started late, or you know, a lot of it, I think, is about when people started.
Not true anymore. Katie, we've been doing it since the game began. Honey, it's not true anymore.
Okay.
It's a boys club.
Okay. Well, listen, I can't argue, because there are a lot of people that feel that way. So
there you go. Boom. Oh, that's another good point. If you are a person who cares about other people's content and you're a content creator, like, share that stuff, boost people up, even off of public and in the interacting with those people, like, check in with them, like, see how they're doing, like, you know, like, make a real community. You know what I mean? Be nice to each other. I don't know.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Alrighty. Go team. Now for some, are we like really negative this episode?
Oh yeah.
We're not jaded though. Like, we're not. It's just this stuff that's coming up. It's like giving us a bad attitude. It's not like,
I don't think we have a bad attitude. I think we made peace with a lot of this a long time ago.
Yeah, it's just realistic. This is just how it is. Alrighty. Mm-hmm. Tempest George asks, have you seen the TV series of Tangled? A bunch of the characters in lore would be great addition to Lorcana. Have you watched this previously before you saw this question?
No, I hadn't actually. And you?
No, I had not. But it's like super cute.
Did you watch some of it?
I watched clips of it. And it's cute.
I just remember when Jess was here, she...
Oh yeah, Jess was a big fan.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the art style is really cute. There's some fun little characters. I don't know. I would love to see it. I like that idea, because there's been like a lot of shows based off of Disney movies over the years. You know, there's the Lion King one. There's a million Winnie the Pooh ones. There's, you know, all kinds of stuff. I like the idea of pulling from those inspired series for stuff. I think that's great.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see it too. Let's bring it on.
We love show lore. We love what's canon, what's not. I love it. Xander Archer asks, would you want to do a live podcast of one of the challenge events or fan events?
No, would you? Would you, Becky?
I would be down to do like little reels and stuff, but like, here I'm live. like a story, like a Instagram story.
Oh yeah, perfect.
I'm here with whoever. Blah blah blah.
And maybe grab a short, some video clips to like put together in a cute little video later. But I think we're both anxious podcasters. We're both anxious travelers, and we're pretty much anxious in every situation. It's really just too many anxieties stacking up at once. I don't think we can handle it. True? Am I not wrong?
Yeah, you're right. Well, so this is going to sound kind of stupid, but like, well, actually, no, this is related. If I go to one of these events, like, I want to have a good time and I don't want to have to worry about that, if that makes sense.
I'm 100,000% with you. Like, I just want to go and try to have fun. I don't want to like have like podcasting brain on when I'm there.
No, no, I don't want that.
Also, why do you keep lying and telling people you're going to go to Chicago? This is like when we were talking to Kylie and you told her we were going to go to SCG Philly, okay, when I knew you weren't going to.
I did not know that I couldn't actually go to that. In my defense. No, Katie. Okay, it's part of it because I love the idea of actually doing it. It's just the practicality of doing it is like impossible. I love the idea. It's just can't happen. Or it might. I don't know.
I literally hate you.
No, you don't. And it's like,
I really want you to go to Chicago with me, actually.
I know. I was talking to my therapist about it today.
Oh, good. I hope you would. What'd she say? She wants you to go.
You're not
going to
like what she said.
No, what did she say?
Oh, okay. What it comes down to is like, I'm not a good traveler, but also like me going, I'm a people pleaser. So I'm torn with wanting to please you and, you know, the Lurkana community and like people who want to see me and kiki with me and whatever, which I love. I do. And then I'm also torn between my husband, Cody, who would be stuck with the boys the whole time. And Cody is the best man in the entire world. And he would never tell me no, but that's because he is also a super people pleaser and he can't actively communicate his needs with me. So I have to manufacture them and respect them on my own.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't think you're going to go with me just because you have told me if it was the other way around and Cody wanted to leave for the weekend, you would say no.
I wouldn't just say no. I would laugh in his face.
which is like, I get it. I just really want you to go to Chicago with me. And it's sad.
It is really sad. No, I totally agree. It sucks. I hear it's a really easy flight, though. It's only like an hour and a half here. I'll just go up early Saturday morning and then leave Saturday night.
Would you?
Is that an option?
Probably. Long day. I mean, like, it's like you're going to be leaving your house at like 3:30 in the morning, maybe 4.
I don't hate it.
Are you serious?
I mean, that's like, that makes me feel the least bad. I'll think about it. I'll check flights.
I'm paying, so.
Woo woo.
Okay.
Oi. Okay. Joss asked, do you think Limited should have a space in competitive Lurkana? At what levels should they be separate events?
So we actually answered a similar question from Martin Karp before, but we've learned a lot about OP since then. So I kept this in. I would like to see, like I think we talked about before, at like North American Championships, at Worlds, for those to be, you know, both constructed and limited. And then for our challenges, I would like to see limited challenges pop up, you know, so you could go to constructed challenge or a limited challenge. But I kind of acknowledge that both of those things really up the complexity of event planning, because then you have to get so much product and distribute it like to people during the event. Like, I don't see that happening anytime soon. So that's like a down the line wish. What I would like to see is for the next set championship is that each store that gets a set championship can choose if they want to have a constructed or a limited event. So they could do like a sealed or a draft. So like these Stitch championships, like we could go to maybe constructed one near you, and then hopefully another store does limited. I think that would be cool.
I think that would be a lot of fun for sure. I mean, we've discussed this ad nauseum, but like, they know that people want to do it. They have guidelines for doing it. They just don't talk about it a whole lot or make the packs accessible for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Next question. Jedi Geek Girl, talking to me. Using your voiceover skills, can you give us a scene in which four of them are playing Lurkana multiplayer and things get a little spicy?
Did you read this before now?
No. Is this boy dinner?
I don't think it's boy dinner. I think it's the four voices you rolled out last week.
Do they mean spicy as in or spicy as in, you know, exciting?
I think spicy as in exciting or people are fighting is actually what I took it.
Oh. I'm going to take a rain check on that. I'm going to, maybe after we do the rest of them, we can come back.
Okay.
Jedi Geek Girl asked Katie, back to SWU, the back and forth action of the game. How did you feel playing the game using that system? Did you find yourself more invested in the gameplay, or do you prefer the standard whole turn approach of Lorcana?
Yeah, Becky, you've never played Star Wars Unlimited, but basically it's like we take our turns at the same time. So we're both going to draw up and draw two cards. And then it's like, basically, I can do an action and then you can do an action and then I can do an action and then you can do an action instead of.
How do you know when the turn's gone over? How do you know when the turn's over?
When we both pass.
Okay, you both have to pass.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's another bit of it is as one of your actions, you can take initiative, which means you can't do any more actions, but the next turn you go first.
Okay.
Which is like kind of spicy because sometimes it's like I'll have things on the board left to do, but it's like, oh, if I don't take initiative right now, I'm going to lose next turn because he's going to attack me directly. So like, I don't know. It's really interesting. I'm not going to lie. Star Wars Unlimited is a fantastic game. It's a really good game.
Oh, I love that. That sounds stressful to me, but I love it. I feel like you have to think more because you have to react to every action, right?
I think, I don't know if I would say more, but like, I think you're more reevaluating because like, instead of planning out your whole turn and then doing it, you're like, okay, well, depending on what they do next, I'll do next. So I guess maybe it is more active thinking. I wouldn't say I'm more invested. I don't ever feel bored playing Lorcana on my opponent's turn. Do you? Do you ever just zone out in your opponent's turn?
All the time.
Okay. So maybe it would make a big difference for you, but I'm watching my opponent's turn either way.
Especially if they're doing many things. They're like, I do this and then I draw this and then I do this and this triggers this and this does this. And I'm just like, let me know when you're done so I can see the state of the board. Anyway, Jedi Geek Girl also asks, what are your way too early predictions for new things or announcements that you think are going to come to Lorcana during year two of the game, starting with set 5?
I'm so bad at predicting the future.
Me too. We should really get Joe from Googly Glimmers on the show. He's pretty good at predicting the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any?
We're going to get more hyenas.
Hell yeah. you know, I'll just manifest it into existence. I'm going to say promo packs like they have for Pokemon.
Oh,
when
yeah,
you show up to League it. And you get a pack. Mm-hmm. That's what.
So this is something I've been thinking about since you mentioned it like months ago, actually. Maybe not months ago, but like a long time ago, you mentioned the mechanic. Well, I mean, you told me about it, but upgrades on cards. And I've still been thinking about that. Now I feel like, yeah, it was probably going to come eventually. Not in set 5, but I feel like that could come eventually.
Yeah, I could see it.
Especially because, although a lot of the items are already, like, clothes and hats and stuff, but, could be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Rob Garrett says, will you be using a physical bag and tokens to represent the bag from the new comprehensive rules? If so, what will that bag and those tokens be? You know where the bag is, Katie?
You're pointing to your head.
all up in the brain hole.
Love it.
Are you going to have a physical bag?
No, I'm not. I'm also in the brain, but if I did want to bring a physical bag, I do have a little purse that has Marie from the Aristocats on it, and that's what I would choose.
Oh, that's so cute. Girl, Kate Spade or nothing over here. Am I right? Dolce and Gabbana, Chanel. Those are the brands I know.
Yeah, you're so bougie. You have those things.
Leave me alone. I'm a dumpster person. Rav Garrett also asks, now that official rules are out, what is an absurd method of shuffling you think is still allowed?
Let me
find shuffle.
Okay. Second, each player randomizes, parentheses, shuffles their decks. Players may use any form of randomization they feel convenient and comfortable, but the method chosen must sufficiently randomize the deck.
So we got our standard, what is this called?
Wait. Shuffling? I don't know. I don't know what shuffles are called.
What's this called? That's what it looked like.
What was that?
That's what you did.
Okay, okay.
Vulgar gesture.
That's what I saw.
Also the one where you pass out, like you're dealing. You do like eight little stackies and
that's sort of together. Pile shuffling.
Pile shuffling. What's this one called?
I don't know what any of the shuffle. I know a pile shuffle, and I know which isn't legal. A pile shuffle is not legal because it does not randomize your deck. You are methodically like putting your deck in a particular order that's like predetermined. It's not a shuffle. It doesn't randomize the deck. I will do it to spread out my cards, but then I always regular shuffle after.
That makes sense. Okay, so there's a lot of shuffling. It appears that the overhand shuffle is, yeah, it's called the overhand shuffle. We were doing an overhand shuffle. Of course, we don't riffle. Let's look at the other types.
Some people riffle shuffle.
Not in our Lorcana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the washing machine is when you just spread them all out on the table and bring your hands over them and then.
Perfect. That's the way to do it.
It's not an official way to shuffle, but yeah, I don't know. No riffles unless your bridge is really impressive.
So this reminds me of a story. You know how Josh and I are really into trading card games, right? So yes. One year for Christmas, Josh's mom got us a card shuffler. Like, I guess they use those at casinos or whatever. I don't even know. But you put the cards in, it shuffles the cards for you. I'm going to take that to my next competitive event and use that to shuffle beforehand.
I love that. Yeah, I sent you a list of shuffles. One of them includes the automatic shuffler.
Nice.
Oh, that thing I said about the washing, that's real. It's actually called the wash shuffle or the scramble. And then the weave shuffles like this, sideways, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, all right, enough talk of shuffling. I hope we all learned something.
I did.
Zazel, Hukana Lorcana asks, how are you prepping for set championships? Are you going? If so, how many? What deck do you plan to play? I'm going to one. Katie's going to two.
Definitely three. Two, probably three, maybe four if I can find a fourth.
If you can make a phone call. So what do you think, girl? How are you prepping?
So I took a bunch of deck lists from previous tournaments. This is actually what I normally do. Play a bunch of games with all of them, see which one is the most fun. By a lot, I mean just like maybe up to five, just to get a feel for how it plays, decide which of those is the funnest for me. And then I just hard commit to that deck and play it for the next 3 weeks. So I'm hard committed to Amber Ruby at this point.
Woo!
What about you? How are you prepping?
So I have talked ad nauseum about this, and this is why I've said ad nauseum twice this episode. It's weird. I have talked ad nauseum a third time about how I get really invested in my cards, like emotionally attached. And I cannot tell you how much I want to play an Amber Sapphire Princess deck in the set championships. However, I have been, you know, modifying an Amber Steel Song list.
You have? Whoa. Amber Steel?
Song.
I'm shocked. Junie, anything?
Why?
I don't know.
Probably.
Amber Steel has never seemed like something you were interested in before.
I'm not, Katie. I told you when I want to play.
Just surprised.
What would you suggest for me?
I thought that if you wanted to be competitive, you would try, like, maybe the Steel Amethyst, like Zach Bivens did, or do, like, an Amber Amethyst. I thought you would choose an aggro list, or even Ruby Amethyst aggro. No, I was wrong. It's okay. It happens.
Yeah, I'd like to, maybe, I don't see me playing Amethyst Steel. You're crazy.
I see it.
I think Amber Amethyst is way more likely.
All right. You, like, can get, like, a sense for things. Like, can you do that with, like, people in ink colors? Because I just feel like I'm feeling Amethyst Steel for you. Like.
Honestly, I love that. And that's all I needed to hear. And I will make that list. You said Mr. Bivens' list?
Yeah.
Is that the list I should do?
You can watch his whole video on it, though. He talks through some lines. It's not super easy to play.
That's like, I feel like you're like Emerald Steel girly.
I was going to build Emerald Steel as a backup.
That's just what I feel for you. I know this isn't supposed to be like, astrology. I know a lot of people are immediately put off when people talk about astrology, particularly men. But
I'm also one of those people. Sorry.
No. You just told me I had Amethyst Steel vibes. And now you're like, you have a star on your shirt. Come on.
Is that what that is?
I can't. Yeah, it's like a three-dimensional star. Or a pentagram. I can't see. do you bulk at my astrology? I talk about it all the time.
Always.
You always bulk at it? Mm-hmm. You think you know somebody.
Love you.
You just told me I had Amethyst Steel vibes. How dare you? Okay, fine, whatever. Oh, this so leads into this next question. Naturally 94 asks, I'm struggling to decide between taking a deck to set championships that I like and know well, but is susceptible to certain prevalent inks, read Steel, versus one I am less familiar with, but I think could fare better in the local meta. Any advice? Great question, Ani. I'm going to add to that and also say, what is more important, Katie, being able to pilot a mid deck well or piloting a good deck mid? You tell me. Well, answer Nani, then tell me.
Whoa. That's a hard question. Okay, so just answering the question, I'll say that as long as your deck is, like, fairly good, like, fairly close to the top tier, like, do your comfort pick. When Lauren was here, her advice was to pick a deck in the top five. So if you're watching meta reports and you're in the top five or six, even six or seven, really, because those spots, like, swap out a lot, like, I say just go for the comfort pick. Yeah, just go for it.
Should I go for the comfort pick of my princesses? No, nobody plays Amber Sapphire. Nobody.
Nobody plays it, no.
And I am going to die on the hill that is the best comfort for me.
The thing is, whatever deck you pick, you're going to have like bad matchups and good matchups. And so it's like totally random. Like you could be like, oh, I should have played Hyper Aggro because I played like Amethyst Ruby all day. But you didn't know that ahead of time. I don't know. Just go with your comfort pick. But not you, Becky. Your comfort pick's too bad.
Here's the thing, though, because people are like, oh, what are you playing? I'm playing Amber Sapphire. Immediately in the head, they're like, songs, popsicles. Bitch, I got neither. Surprise, bitch. You don't know what's happening.
Surprise, my deck is terrible.
My deck is not terrible.
I'm joking.
Anyway, that was a great conversation.
Becky, play Amber Sapphire if you want to play Amber Sapphire. Just do it. Be an icon. Do it.
I will see. We'll see. We'll see. Anything else we need to discuss?
Well, you owe Jedi Geek Girl a spicy voiceover fight, so.
I don't even remember what voices I did. I had a baby.
You had a baby. You had a woman pretending to be a boy.
A young boy, yeah.
You had a manic pixie dream girl. I don't
remember. I sure did. And then I had like a soft little waifu type. And the only multiplayer thing I can think about is Pack Tactics. Pack Tactics. Hold on, I'm just gonna riff one thing. Okay.
Pack Tactics is the best card for multiplayer. That's not true. Nobody thinks that. Everyone knows it's Big Tink. Well, guys, what you really need to do is use them both.
That was so good. Just beautiful.
No, it wasn't. Beautiful. Cut it out.
Just keeping cut it out. It was beautiful, right. And I'm keeping it.
You're welcome, Jedi Geek Girl. Don't act like I never do anything for you. All right. You want to... Oh, wait. Because we're not having a featured creator.
Yeah, we didn't want to have a featured creator associated with Beer Babes Boycott.
Unless they pitched a creator. Maybe they did.
We haven't listened yet. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Did you mention it to Josh that he should pitch a creator? Did you give him our notes? What did they talk about?
I don't know. I'm worried, but it'll be fine.
All right. So that's our show. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Check us out on YouTube. It's just this, but on YouTube. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we do have a Discord. It's a nice place. We recently added a food and drink channel. You hungry? You thirsty? We're going to make it worse. Do I say anything else?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
And until next time, remember to live, laugh, and lore.